O little town of Bethlehem, how still do we see thee lie? Few of us know much about the little town of Bethlehem beyond the Christmas Carol, written by an American clergyman, Philip Brooks, in 1868. He wrote it 3 years after he visited Bethlehem. But the village he visited was much different place than the bustling commercial hub where Jesus was born. Nicholas Blanco tells the fascinating story of Jesus' birthplace in his book, Bethlehem, Biography of a Town. Blanco is not your average historian. In fact, he's not an historian at all. A screenwriter, novelist, and playwright, he's married to the Palestinian filmmaker and activist Leila Sansour. Her family comes from Bethlehem. His melancholy verdict is that Bethlehem is an open-air prison. Under unprecedented threat from Israel, hemmed in by 42 settlements illegal under international law. Part history, part travelogue and memoir, his book reads like an extended love letter to a place on the brink. When the future King David was born in Bethlehem, it was only a settlement of shepherds and herdsmen. But Bethlehem came into prominence 200 years before Jesus' birth, when the Greeks built an aqueduct from the springs near the Bethlehem Hills. This aqueduct supplied water to the city of Jerusalem 7 miles away. Bethlehem instantly became a center of commerce as well as a strategic military location. Blanco writes that Mary and Joseph probably spent the night in the open garden in the center of Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph would see tough-looking traders strike deals, count profit, write contracts, and exchange their sheep and wool for fruit or olive oil. To visitors from the Galilee, this might make Bethlehem a wild and strange kind of town. Nevertheless, it was clear that Bethlehem was far less free than the Galilee. Rome's 10th Legion, with soldiers everywhere, was charged not only with protecting the many miles of aqueducts, but also with policing the desert, the empire's international border, as well as the profitable trade in livestock and Dead Sea chemicals. Bethlehem was supposed to be part of the Jewish ancestral homeland. Yet, as the scriptures tell us, it was not a place where one was likely to find many Jews. The prophet Micah, in today's Old Testament reading, calls Bethlehem too small to be among the clans of Judah. But then he goes on to say, "From you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler of Israel." Jesus will be born not in Jerusalem, the holiest and most important city in Jerusalem, but in little Bethlehem. Micah speaks hope to a nation in extreme distress. Jerusalem is under siege, and the king has suffered humiliation, and the people see no hope. However, Micah sees hope beyond the current circumstance to what God is promising to do. While we look towards presidents, prime ministers, and congresspersons, Micah is jumping up and down and waving his arms, desperately trying to point us in an entirely different direction. He is pointing to a small, out-of-the-way place, a town called Bethlehem. How fitting on this fourth Sunday of Advent that Micah points us to stories in which hope and help come from unexpected quarters and unlikely people. Micah inspires us to look for God's activity in people and places that are off the map, in the Bethlehems and stables of our world and lives. More often than not, God is in the nooks and crannies, the alleys and kitchens. Advent calls us to have eyes, ears, and hearts that are trained to expect the unexpected and to listen for the least likely voices. So where are the places in your own life that you would easily dismiss as insignificant and thereby fail to see the presence and activity of God? This year, we are giving each family and household a Christmas gift donated by a parishioner who chooses to remain anonymous. Now, don't expect a gift every year. The gift is Matthew Kelly's latest book entitled The Biggest Lie in the History of Christianity. The myriad of lies that have always swirled around, abound around Christianity, have sown doubt in the hearts and minds and eroded the faith of millions. Kelly says this lie is not one that non-Christians is not one that non-Christians tell. It is a lie that we tell ourselves as Christians. And for those of you who choose not to take the book home or read it, do you want to know what the lie is? The lie is holiness is not possible. Holiness is not possible for you or me. We can demolish this diabolical lie in our hearts, minds, souls, and church community by creating what Matthew Kelly calls holy moments. He defines a holy moment in this way: a moment when you open yourself to God. You make yourself available to Him. You set aside what you feel like doing in that moment, and you set aside self-interest, and for one moment, you simply do what you prayerfully believe God is calling you to do in that moment. That is a holy moment. It is believing what will bring the most good to the most people in that moment. We witness such a holy moment in the gospel passage when Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth. Two women of insignificance and with unexpected pregnancies. Every day, Jesus is born in the Bethlehems of our lives. Lives overwhelmed by responsibilities and expectations. Sometimes Christ comes to us in poverty, that we might know the riches of God. He comes in simplicity that we might realize the presence of God in all things. He comes quietly so that we might hear the music of God amid the clamor of our noisy world. This Christmas, may the wellspring that is Christ bring new hope and joy into our Bethlehem wilderness. May the light that is Christ illuminate the darkness of our mangers with wisdom and peace in this season and in every season of the new year. How hard it is for us to imagine impressive historical heroes as coming from very small towns. But it was here. Matthew and Luke write, in this busy, bustling, godless exchange, that God entered human history. All of these details of Jesus' conception in Nazareth, a visit into the hill country, and his birth in Bethlehem reveal to us the character of God. If it is God's way to choose the small and humble, then it must be our way as well. So how might we find a way to embrace this preference for the small and humble in our own lives and celebrate Christmas as a holy moment?
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all thy years are met in thee tonight.